Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, April 10th, 2018, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride, and wild and crazy dystopic ride it is, which is a monumental understatement. And, you know, things are proceeding according to plan. The Oded Yanan plan, the Greater Middle East plan, Pike's letter to Mazzini plan, and, of course, the Book of Revelation and Daniel, for that matter, plan. It's everything's going according to plan. So that's boldly provocative and frighteningly disturbing all at the same time. But we'll get into some of that. The Syria situation is kind of pivotal, obviously. You know, the new Silk Road route is starting to take shape, and so everybody has to jockey for their peace. And we don't have time in America to propagandize the American people effectively the way that we have in the past. You know, the 2002 run-up to the 2003 invasion of Iraq comes particularly to mind. The stovepiping of intelligence through the creation of the Office of Special Plans specifically for the purpose of stovepiping the American people. Stovepiping intelligence to propagandize the American people, that is. So we don't have time for that. And we're just gonna ramrod this effort through. That's what seems to be happening. It's very frightening. What people in America don't realize, because they've just we're dullards at this point. We're so indolent to the effort that we don't understand what the consequences are, what this portends, and I guess a million plus people dead. A trillion plus dollars gone, most of it misused and stolen. Just in, a million people dead in Iraq, a trillion plus dollars gone in Afghanistan alone, and then there's Iraq. And so, you know, that's the same thing. I mean, look at the havoc that's already been brought in Syria, the devastation. There'll be more of that. Boots on the ground means loss of American lives, taxpayer dollars, loss of Syrian lives and others. This is the death cult ideologue's fondest dream. They love war. You know, we began this series with that quote from John Lennon: if they can pull on your beard and stuff and get you upset, get you rattled, then they know how to deal with you then. They love war. It's their wheelhouse. It's their go-to move. So when someone is just frothing at the mouth to go attack somebody, the first call should be, you know, Adam Kinzinger on this morning, or certainly John Bolton and the foreign policy experts. I'm no foreign policy expert like John Bolton, but, you know, if John Bolton wants to go to war, I think we should say, you first. Grab your rifle, sir. Go man the front line. What forward deployment are you going to serve in first? I want you right there, maybe at ground zero of the alleged gas attack. Anyway, we'll talk more about that. But first, we're going to start out with a bit of sacred cow tipping. This one comes to us from the YouTube channel Philosophy Insights, published February 16, 2018, interview of Johan Norberg. And he is a Swedish author and historian. The title of this clip in his interview with Reason TV is Johan Norberg, The Truth About Swedish Socialism. Let's do a little sacred cow tipping to start the day. Go ahead, please.
Johan, we want to talk about Sweden today, and let's just begin with the misperceptions about Sweden. Polly Toynbee from the left-wing newspaper in England, The Guardian, said Sweden is the most successful society that the world has ever known. You, I suspect, disagree with that. Can you tell us why that's wrong?
The problem is that this is an ancient leftist myth about this utopian paradise of Sweden, where all the social problems have been solved and it's possible to have high growth even though we have high taxes. To understand the Swedish model of taxation and so on, you also have to understand that it's really not a way of taking from the rich and giving to the poor, which is the perspective or the hope of many American and European intellectuals when they look at the tax levels in Sweden. Because if you try to tax people with high incomes, big businesses, capital gains, businesses and so on, then you destroy the economy. And the Social Democrats, they understand that. So what they do instead is that they have fairly okay tax levels if you're really wealthy, if you're really rich. What we do instead is that we tax consumption. We have a 25% VAT, consumption tax in Sweden, which means that the poor pay the highest proportion of that. What they always fail to realize is that we created wealth when Sweden was a free trade, free market society. What has happened since is that Sweden has become a mixed economy where with some free markets and some government intrusion, you can easily see that the free market parts, they're successful. But at the same time, we could see things like Sweden being one of the healthiest populations on the planet, had the highest sick leave statistics in Europe, because it paid off not to be there. And for lack of social control and no specific controls of that, well, if you can get 80% of your wage when you stay at home, then you probably do that. And voters rejected that, because after a while, I mean, there's a tipping point somewhere. After a while, you begin to see that, look, everybody else is sort of using these benefits and not contributing to society. If that continues, I'm a loser if I work. So this has to stop somewhere, and that's why the Social Democrats were thrown out of office.
Let's talk about market reforms in Sweden. Explain for us, you know, some of these sort of more market liberal or libertarian advances that Sweden has made over the past 15 years or 20 years.
Well, yeah, to be fair, Sweden is one of the European countries that have liberalized the most, I would say, in the last 20 or so years, and especially if you compare it to the European continent. One of the reasons was that we had a very problematic, destructive economic crisis in the early 1990s, because the old policies really failed and education didn't pay off, businesses weren't doing quite well. So we had a center-right government. They began to really liberalize product markets. At that time, the Social Democrats said that deregulating telecom, which almost no country had done before, was a weird libertarian neoliberal experiment that would destroy the telephone business in Sweden. And of course, it paved the way for Ericsson and Tele2, the Swedish success when it comes to cell phones and so on. When we looked in at the turn of the century at the 50 largest Swedish companies, not one had been created after 1970. I mean, these are the old companies that were produced during Sweden's laissez-faire period, when Sweden was the most open to businesses, and then they've been kept in place.
Let's talk a bit about healthcare. What would you tell an American who knew very little about the Swedish healthcare system?
Well, first of all, I would really look at the broader picture. Where does the healthcare technologies come from that the Swedish hospitals use? Where do the drugs and the medicines come from? Well, all of it is really invented, implemented in the American competitive healthcare system. So in effect, what we're doing is that we're free riding on the entrepreneurship that goes on the competition that goes on in the American healthcare system. So whatever you do and whatever the consequences for Americans, I'm not the one to really have a strong opinion on that. Please, please, please don't introduce any sort of single payer or government mandated healthcare system here, because in that case, it would be disastrous for all the rest of us who parasite upon the invention that goes on here. You have to somehow ration healthcare. The demand is unlimited. The resources are limited. So either you have to ration it with prices and making sure that people pay for it themselves and think about what they want to have covered, or you ration it with waiting lines. I mean, if you have a condition in Sweden, it could be serious conditions. We have stories about that in the media all the time. People have brain tumor and get the response that, yeah, just wait in line until we have the machinery and the doctors ready for you.
Thanks for joining us, Johan. For Reason TV, I'm Michael Moynihan.
So there's that. The sacred cow has tipped that, you know, there are a number of directions that cow was tipped there in that short little 5-minute interview or that excerpt. Anyway, there's that. I want to get into the deal with Syria, and we're just going to bang through some stuff. We're going to go fast through this stuff today. In hopes, I'm not trying to satirize, I guess, if that's a word, the situation. I'm trying to draw attention to the absurdity of what the Western press is reporting. I mean, the fact that there is no evidence to this day of the repeated claims in past years, including last year, that Syria and the Assad government in particular gassed its own people. And who would do that anyway? And especially at the worst possible moment for them strategically, and at the best possible moment for those who just are clamoring to attack someone. Do you see what I'm saying? It makes no sense. There is no strategic advantage to the Assad government for doing what is claimed, like every other time. There's no strategic or tactical advantage to him, Bashar al-Assad, and his government to do what he did. I looked last year. He actually personally rebutted the claims in interviews, including in English. I'm kind of surprised he hasn't done that this year, but the Presidency SY YouTube channel has no videos on it in the last couple of weeks, since 2 weeks ago, that is. Syria News, same thing, nothing. Sana, the Syrian Arab News Agency, is reporting, and we can go there. There's the English version of the website, sana.sy/en. You can go there right now. I encourage you to. And the latest stories that you'll find right now, top stories published today, UN Secretary General calls for impartial investigation into alleged chemical use in Douma. We're not hearing that. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres called for an international and impartial investigation in the alleged use of chemical weapons in Douma City in a statement on Tuesday. But next story. So that's the first. We're not hearing that. There's no waiting. Donald Trump said yesterday, what did he say? The goofy statement. This is about humanity. We're talking about humanity. And it can't be allowed to happen. If it's Russia, if it's Syria, if it's Iran, if it's all of them together, we'll figure it out. And we'll know the answers quite soon, he said. So we're looking at that very strongly and very seriously. Really? who was it that was on with Tucker Carlson? Oh, Theo Padnos was on yesterday, who spent 2 years as an al-Nusra hostage back in 2012 to 14, he said, we can't know because we can't get access to the we'll play that clip in a little bit here. He said, we need to, before we go starting any wars, he said, we should investigate properly, and we can't do that now because we cannot access the scene of the crime. But somehow, unknown sources were able to once again not only make it into the danger zone, but also, even more remarkably, they somehow managed to capture Oscar-winning caliber footage once again. And to that I say, wow, remarkable. And how did they know the danger had subsided, by the way? How did they know that the chlorine gas attack had subsided? Wow, those selfless, unknown, intrepid photo and video journalists, not to be denied of even the most life-threatening of stories. And reporting in near real time from ground zero of an alleged chemical attack, no less. I wish we could thank and congratulate those unknown selfless journalists. Perhaps you sense my cynicism, and I shouldn't be, I suppose, because again, this is no laughing matter, but it's ridiculous what's being reported. It's utterly ridiculous. You know, the White Helmets, an Oscar-winning offshoot of Al-Qaeda, and the CIA is notorious for, well, making films and making films, you know, CIA movies about the CIA. It's ridiculous. It's just, I mean, it's layer upon layer of absurdity. I'm going to get into some of this, including a timeline. But first, let me say this. Let me kind of do this before we end this segment. I'm going to, in an interview back in May of 1998, guess who made this statement? With a quick web search, you'll easily discover by whom it was made. But before you go searching, listen to the statement and see if you can guess who said this. I'll reveal who said it probably at the end of hour one. But this is a large excerpt from the May 1998 interview. This person said, "We know." Well, before I do that, here are a couple of the other headlines over at SANA, Syria Arab News Agency. U.S. helicopters evacuate foreign leaders of Daesh from Tal al-Shayer, Hasaka. Remember last year when, and I talked about this yesterday, and I mentioned it on the National Intel Report last night. But remember last year, and we should just play that clip. We'll probably play that clip in this during this broadcast, probably first hour. Remember when Bashar al-Jafari, Syria's permanent ambassador to the UN, back in December of 2016, said, "We've caught some special forces operators, military and intelligence, clandestine forces who were trying to escort Daesh out of the hot zones. We caught him." He named him by name and country. He said, "We're turning him back over to you guys, but first we're going to name him by name and country." Same thing happening again. April 10, 2018, U.S. helicopters evacuate foreign leaders of Daesh from Tal al-Shayer, Hasaka. Same thing as last year. That's kind of funny. Only not. Next headline. These are all today, April 10. Lavrov, Moscow to provide draft resolution at UNSC, UN Security Council, on sending OPCW experts to Duma. So Russia's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, is trying to send the official delegation from the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, OPCW, into Duma to investigate. Are we hearing the Trump administration say that? Nobody's saying that. Everyone's talking about retaliation for something that hasn't been proven. We'll be right back.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with voracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself. Don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn, you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. So much going on. Where do you begin? I mean, there's just stuff falling out everywhere. You know, even CNN is reporting the truth in their story and trying to spin their web of lies. The truth is just, it's like it can't help but come out. The CNN story, why would Israel launch strikes on Syria? We'll play a little clip of that in a little bit here, a minute and a half. That video, that's interesting. Meanwhile, RT reports, what's the RT story? Assad had no reason to launch chemical attack, unlike those who wanted U.S. involvement. That's Ron Paul. So they are attributing that to Ron Paul. So anyway, meanwhile, CNN, you know, why would Israel launch strikes on Syria? Are you kidding me? That's a joke, right? We'll get into the history lesson here. Well, because for over 100 years, that's been the plan. Beginning in 1896 with Theodor Herzl's Der Judenstaat, you know, 1896, before Oded Yanan, there was Theodor Herzl and Der Judenstaat in 1896. That's been the plan all along. We'll get into that history lesson here in a little bit. Incidentally, Who is Polly Toynbee? Because you heard in that clip of Johan Norberg, you heard about Polly Toynbee. You know, Polly Toynbee reporting from the left-wing newspaper, The Guardian. And by the way, you know, I've appreciated some of the reporting that comes out of The Guardian, The Independent, The Daily Mail in recent years. It's really interesting, The Guardian in particular. I mean, I point to Robin Cook's article the day after the London 7-7 bombing, 7-8-2005, as a fantastic harbinger. Robin Cook, the struggle against terrorism cannot be won by military means. The same is true today, 13 years later, nearly. And as I usually say, I believe that was the article that got him killed. Anyway, who is Polly Toynbee? Well, you know, just in simple terms, she's the granddaughter of Arnold J. Toynbee. So, I mean, that tells you all you need to know, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, I want to get to this quote. Who said this? And we'll talk about this at the end of the first hour, but who said this? I wonder if we have time for all of it. That's, yeah. Oh, nah, I'll wait until the next segment, because it's probably too long. Anyway, back to the Syrian headlines today. So Lavrov, headline, Lavrov, Moscow to provide draft resolution at UNSC on sending OPCW experts to Duma. Is the what is CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, anybody reporting this in the West, that we should be doing this? However, the use of chemical weapons has not been confirmed yet. Members of the Syrian Arab Red Crescent, SARC, and Russian representatives to the relevant agencies visited the site of the alleged attack in Duma, but did not find any traces of chemical weapons. We cannot take the results of remote investigations for granted anymore. This is what happened in Khan Shaykhun last year, when a remote investigation resulted in a flimsy report containing expressions such as, quote, highly possible, and, quote, highly likely. We know the true price of such expressions and will never again take them for granted, Lavrov is quoted as saying. And that's fair. Lavrov pointed out that according to the charter of the OPCW, the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, it should conduct an investigation at the same place and take samples for laboratory study in a transparent manner, adding that the Russian draft resolution will require precisely this sort of inquiry. Is the Western press reporting the same? That is what the international protocols are. What's the Western press reporting? Not that. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel: great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health by Amazon customer. It works for me. Return to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just 2 bottles, a 4-month supply. I take Extendivite 3 times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Welcome back. There are those, the intriguers, they want to fabricate and manufacture layers of complexity. The John Boltons want you to believe that if you're just a simpleton, you can't possibly understand the layers of complexity to foreign policy. But that's bunk. The truth is, it's pretty simple. And for hundreds of years, a couple hundred years now in particular, British intelligence, most notably, has harnessed the virulent nature of Wahhabism in particular, used it as a social virus to upset the region for specific political aims. Again, getting back specifically in this case to Theodor Herzl's Der Judenstaat and the Der Judenstaat, his pamphlet titled The Jewish State, published back in 1896, in which he said the area of the Jewish state stretches from the brook of Egypt to the Euphrates, which is an homage to a biblical passage that, you know, this is what is always used, and we'll get into that later. So these guys want to tell you, the John Boltons want to tell you that it's too complicated to understand what's going on in the Middle East. That is just patently false. So here's what's going on, and it's really simple. And if you just watch in these terms, in this context, you will see everything makes perfect sense. It does. In 1871, which was long into about 100 years or so into British intelligence, so to speak, using the Wahhabi social virus as a means to destabilize the region, the Ottoman Empire in particular. 1871, August 15, Albert Pike writes his allegedly spurious or ostensibly apocryphal letter to the great Italian liberator, Giuseppe Mazzini, creator of the mob, fellow Illuminist, and fellow Mason. And Pike outlines 3 world wars. The first 2 happen roughly in accordance with Pike's outline. The third was to be fomented between political Zionism and political Islam. Now, that's a key point, because people will get hung up on the Jewish Zionist issue, you know, and I'm not going to get into the defining of terms. I've done that before. It's important that we don't conflate terms. Who is a Jew? Paul talks about very specifically in Romans 2 and Romans 9. And so that issue we're not getting into. But what I call political Zionism, what everyone else calls Zionism these days, the the modern incarnation of this term, Theodore Herzl is generally accepted as the father of the modern incarnation of the term Zionism. So anyway, around the same time, obviously, you know, you have Pike's letter to Mazzini in 1871 outlining three world wars, the third colliding political Zionism against political Islam. Theodore Herzl, considered the father of the term Zionism. He writes his paper, Der Judenstaat, in 1896, The Jewish State. He was born in 1860, incidentally. And, you know, he starts, that's where the drumbeat for this thing begins. And then 1897, first Zionist Congress, 1898, second Zionist Congress, they have the same flag that Israel flies today with that star that is not Star of David. You can't find that anywhere in the Bible. You do find the Star of Remphan, for example, though. And so this idea starts to get traction. Around the same time, you have I don't want to get too far off on this. I want to read the quote first. But around the same time, you have Baron Edmund Rothschild's land purchase of $50 million in the area, who was a Zionist, by the way. And there's a lot of intrigue. And intentional obfuscation around the subject matter. Anyway, I want to read the quote. I don't want to get too far off on the timeline yet. But it's important to know this has been going on for decades, over 100 years. There has been a concerted effort to attack Syria, basically. I mean, literally, Syria as a target. I'll get into that more in a minute, because the American people don't know this. The American people don't know that literally since the creation of the CIA, Syria has been in the sights of these folks. It has been one of the CIA's primary targets since the National Security Act created the CIA September 18, 1947, literally from that day. And there have been clandestine operations happening in Syria pretty much from the moment the CIA was created. We'll get into that in a minute. So first, the headlines from Sana, then that quote that I'm threatening to read, haven't read yet. So other headlines from Sana. Just to finish that article quoting Lavrov, the headline, Lavrov, Moscow to provide draft resolution at UNSC on sending OPCW experts to Duma. The article closes with these words. The top diplomat added that the Syrian government has agreed to send experts to investigate the alleged incident in the city of Duma, which was freed from terrorists, noting that the West states that the Western states are not interested in establishing the truth, either in this case or in Khan Shaykhun or in the Skripal affair. And as William in Montana has been pointing out, the Skripal affair is turning out to be very embarrassing for Boris Johnson, Theresa May and company. Very embarrassing. And there's no proof. And they keep pointing all over. Look over there. Look over there. No, this is just supposed to be, you guys are supposed to, we're trying to propagandize you, use a little bit of stovepiped intelligence to say, and they're just getting sloppy apparently. It's weird. It's really weird. I think honestly, in my opinion, it's the rush to break ground on the New Silk Road, if you will. That's my suspicion, why we have no time to properly stovepipe intelligence, to properly propagandize people in the West. That's just my suspicion. I think that's probably the biggest burning reason why this whole madness is going the way it's going. Anyway, so Sana reports this. Is it true? Is it true that, again, if the Syrian government, as Sana reports, another headline along those lines, Foreign Ministry invites, this is April 10th, Sana again, today from Sana, Foreign Ministry invites OPCW to send fact-finding team to Douma to investigate claims about alleged use of chemical weapons. They're inviting the OPCW in. Please send the OPCW. Don't send missiles. Don't send tomahawks. Send the OPCW delegation. And so, again, they've invited OPCW to investigate the alleged incident in the city of Douma. Again, close of the article I'm reading from, which was freed from terrorists, noting that the Western states are not interested in establishing the truth in either this case or Khan Shikun or in the Skirpal affair. And that's a fact. That's a fact. I mean, let me give you the CNN story that I mentioned. We'll play that clip here. While this is loading, I'll give you the quote. But again, the headline is the headline of this article is why would Israel launch strikes on Syria? Which is a dumb rhetorical question. Because these same people have been trying to do this. Interest behind the Zionists have been trying to do this for over 100 years, I guess, because they've been doing, you know. Israel denies it categorically. Oh, yeah. Kind of like they deny everything else. And then years later you hear, for example, Israel attacked a Syrian nuclear facility. And they're like, yeah, we did that. So what? Anyway, while this is loaded, I'm going to read you this quote. Who said this? And again, you can look it up real fast, but think about this. Who would say this? In this context, I think it's particularly provocative and relevant. So who said this in an interview back in May of 1998? We know at least one reason behind the symbolic participation of the Western forces, and that is to support the Jewish and Zionist plans for expansion of what is called the Great Israel. Surely, their presence is not out of concern over their interests in the region. Their presence has no meaning save one, and that is to offer support to the Jews in Palestine who are in need of their Christian brothers to achieve full control over the Arab Peninsula, which they intend to make an important part of so-called Greater Israel. And again, this is to collide forces together. Again, this is not the end game. I just want to keep pointing that out. It's Pike's letter to Mazzini, colliding these forces together. The end game is not Greater Israel. It's Greater Israel against Middle East, sort of, in that, you know, context, colliding those forces together, creating, using Wahhabism, Salafism, Deobandism primarily as a social virus, and Zionism, really, colliding those together but not directly, using the proxies of British Israel and British Saudi Arabia to kind of infect the region and the world with the ideological underpinnings of this conflict. That's what's happening. Anyway, continuing with the quote, the leaders in America and in other countries as well have fallen victim to Jewish Zionist blackmail. They have mobilized their people against Islam and against Muslims. These are portrayed in such a manner as to drive people to rally against them. The truth is that the whole Muslim world is the victim of international terrorism engineered by America at the United Nations. We are a nation whose sacred symbols have been looted and whose wealth and resources have been plundered. I say to the American people, the American people is a parenthetical addition by me. I say to them, actually, to the American people, that they have put themselves at the mercy of a disloyal government. And this is most evident in Clinton's administration. We believe that this administration represents Israel inside America. Take the sensitive ministries such as the Ministry of Exterior and the Ministry of Defense and the CIA. You will find that the Jews have the upper hand in them. They make use of America to further their plans for the world, especially the Islamic world. American presence in the Gulf provides support to the Jews and protects their rear. And while millions of Americans are homeless and destitute and live in abject poverty, their government is busy occupying our land and building new settlements and helping Israel build new settlements. The American government is leading the country towards hell. We say to the Americans as people and to American mothers, if they cherish their lives and if they cherish their sons, they must elect an American patriot government that caters to their interests, not the interests of the Jews. If the present injustice continues with the wave of national consciousness, it will inevitably move the battle to American soil, just as Ramzi Youssef and others have done. This is my message to the American people. I urge them to find a serious administration that acts in their interest and does not attack people and violate their honor and pilfer their wealth. Who said that back in May 1998? That was, of course, pre-9/11. Who said that? And again, you can find who said that with a quick web search, obviously. But I'm just curious what people think. I'd love to take calls on that. If you have a guess before you look and or confirm, I'm curious what your guess is before you confirm your suspicion. Who said that? We'll take calls on that. 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. So back to the stories and more stories. So the headline, Lavrov, Moscow to provide draft resolution at UNSC on sending OPCW experts to Duma. This is Sana, Syrian Arab News Agency. And so the skeptic would say, yeah, but it's Syria. So of course they're going to say that. Of course they're going to, of course the article is going to close quoting Lavrov and saying, you know, the Syrian government has invited the OPCW in. Of course they're going to say that Duma was freed from terrorists. CNN's reporting that. Listen to this clip. Go ahead if you're ready, please.
Strikes against that Syrian military base is concerned. You guys have already said that the Syrian government says that the Israelis were responsible. The Russians are saying the same thing. They say Israeli warplanes flew over Lebanese territory and fired 8 missiles at that airbase. 5 of them were apparently intercepted, but 3 of them then hit that base, killing several people on the ground. We know, of course, that the Israelis suspect that there might be Iranian operatives on the ground there. And then you have that suspected chemical weapons attack in that outskirt of Damascus. That's actually only about 8 miles from where I am standing right now. That happened in the night from Saturday into Sunday, and the opposition says that Syrian government helicopters were flying over that area, dropped canisters, and all of a sudden people on the ground got severe respiratory problems, and dozens of people were killed as a result of that. The opposition obviously blames the Syrian government. The Syrian government, for its part, has issued a strong rebuttal saying they were not responsible. They do acknowledge that there was an offensive going on in that area at the time, but they said that they were making such big advances that they did not need any sort of unconventional weapons to make sure that their advance goes much quicker. In fact, that territory, which is called Duma, just outside of Damascus, has since then been essentially won back by the Syrian government, the rebels that were down there on the ground leaving that area. So as
you hear that? Even CNN reported that the Syrian government had won back the area of Duma, and the rebels were leaving, and Syria is – that CNN is reporting the same thing that Sana is reporting to that regard. Israel confirms that there were operations in the area, but no, we didn't – that wasn't our attack here. You know, we're not going to confess to that. The T4 airport in Homs countryside, we're not going to admit that, but we were conducting operations in the area, and even CNN admits that the area had been won back by the Syrian government. Do you see what I'm saying? So if that's true, ki bono. who benefits? What does Assad gain by gassing people in a territory that even CNN reports the Syrian government had won back? Yay, we won it back. The terrorists are leaving. Now let's gas our own people. Does that make any sense? No. Furthermore, it's convenient for those who are losing their territory when you are backing the moderate rebels, so-called, and suddenly they're ushered out. Let me see if I can frame this in the right context. Last year, we heard the same thing when the same thing was happening. The moderate rebels were largely extricated from the area in question. And then suddenly, when Assad has won back that territory, now we're going to gas our own people again. What? Who benefits? The people backing this so-called moderate rebel group. Duh. That's who benefits, so that they can come back in, so that you can attack, so that you can bomb places and people, so that you can establish a no-fly zone, which, you know, always that inevitably means that they can't protect themselves from your carpet bombing efforts. That's who benefits. The Western aggressors. That's who benefits. You know, listen to what Donald Trump said. That is literally a quote that I read earlier. This is about humanity. We're talking about humanity. And it can't be allowed to happen. If it's Russia, if it's Syria, if it's Iran, if it's all of them together, we'll figure it out. Well, that sounds like it's a put-up job. That's not an investigation. That's a witch hunt. If it's all of them together, we'll figure it out and we'll know the answers quite soon. Why would they – what does Russia, Iran, and Syria have to gain by provoking an international conflict or escalating an international conflict? For what purpose? Meanwhile, there are those who have been trying to take control of this area for over 100 years. Do they stand to benefit? The proxy, the foremost proxy in that is the United States military establishment and the Israeli military. Do they stand to benefit? I mean, it's pretty straightforward, isn't it? It's a rhetorical question. Duh. I'll get into the timeline here in a little bit because, you know, Americans don't understand what's been going on, generally speaking. I mean, I'm no foreign policy expert like John Bolton, but I can read a little bit. I can read a little bit of history. John Bolton doesn't want me to know history. He wants to do his little magic trick in Clark's Third Law fashion. Any sufficiently advanced foreign policy is indistinguishable from magic. Chris, you just wouldn't understand. It's too complex. You know, you're not a foreign policy expert. I'm too simple-minded, I guess, for someone like John Bolton. So more headlines over at Sana. Isn't that interesting? CNN reports the truth of what Sana is reporting, which confirms the fact that the Assad government gains nothing. There's no benefit to the Assad government at all. CNN's even reporting that. To gassing his own people. It's stupid. If we fall for this, it's stupid. It gets right back to Dietrich Bonhoeffer's that quote that I keep reading on stupidity by Bonhoeffer. In simple terms, I would say one of the archetypal examples, again, is the creation of the Office of Special Plans by Bolton and crew back in the Bush 2 administration, specifically for the purpose of stovepiping intelligence, specifically to propagandize the American people, specifically to attack Iraq. Why would we want to do that? As we found out, Iraq had nothing to do with September 11. Nothing. Zero. Zip, zilch, nada. Then why attack? We know the answer to that. Again, it's that history lesson. And Wes Clark's intimation 10 years ago told us. He said, we're going to attack and destroy. He was told from the Pentagon deep in the bowels of the Pentagon, we are going to attack and destroy the governments in 7 countries in 5 years. We're going to start with Iraq. There's your answer. And then we're going to go move to Syria. And almost immediately we did. Look up on Wikipedia, CIA activities in Syria. You'll see CIA has been maintaining clandestine operations since at least 2006. Just because it isn't reported on CNN doesn't mean it's not happening. We're going to start with Iraq and then going to move to Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Iran. 7 countries in 5 years. Have we seen this? Hello, America. The Office of Special Plans was created to stovepipe intelligence. We later learned so that the Bush administration could say, weapons of mass destruction, weapons of mass destruction, 1,000 times. Remember that? They said it 1,000 times, and it turned out to be patently false. Joe Wilson said, I don't see any yellow cake. And the CIA said, guess what? Valerie Plame, she's outed. That's what you get. You're lucky you're still alive, Joe, and Valerie too. This is what happens. Joe Wilson wrote a book about it. Anyway, back to the headlines before we go out in this segment. Sana is reporting U.S. helicopters evacuate foreign leaders of Daesh from Tal al-Shair, Hasaka. Lavrov, Moscow to provide draft resolution at UNSC on sending OPCW experts to Duma. Again, the Western press not reporting that. Why aren't we interested in sending a fact-finding delegation? Moscow, Russia will not abandon its diplomatic efforts on situation in Syria. But here's a provocative headline. Zarif, Zionist entity launches aggression on Syria due to terrorist setback. There you go. That's what CNN should be reporting. Mohammad Javad Zarif, Iranian foreign minister, said yesterday he condemned the Israeli aggression on T4 airport in Homs countryside, indicating the Zionist entity attacks Syria whenever the terrorists suffer setbacks. That's what's going on. America, wake the you-know-what up. What is about to happen will be devastating to us here in America. Don't let this happen. We'll be right back.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.